Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio show of Andrew Shatkin on every day at various times, whether 6:30, today is 3:30, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, or 10:30, or 11 even. We also do it at 9:30. This show has various components. First of all, it's a show of honest, intellectual honesty and honest discernment. You get to hear the truth and nothing but the truth and get the facts and nothing but the facts. That's all you're going to get here, okay, if you're interested. Tonight, I talk a various topic on this show. I talk about theology. I'm a Princeton Theological Seminary graduate, and I am well-versed in theological and religious thought in the Christian faith. I'm very dedicated to Christianity and its truth, and I also speak about literature on this show, great books such as War and Peace, Milton's Paradise Lost, T.S. Eliot, whoever you might name. These are the books I read and value. I talk about literature, I talk about theology, and I talk about politics. I'm conservative generally. I oppose abortion and gay marriage, but I have nothing against our dear gay friends. I know that God wants them to be with me in heaven, and I want them to be with me there too, and with all the saints. I have no prejudice. I have no discrimination to anybody. I abhor discrimination. I dislike it. I believe people that Jesus loves and died for all men and women without question. Hindu, Muslim, whoever they are, he loves them and died for them and wants them to be with him in heaven with all the saints. Now, tonight I'm going to talk about our culture in the United States, which is commercial, which is based on money. I think the economic system is a good one, but I don't believe as a philosophical system it's very effective. I don't believe in the money culture. I believe in the culture of thought, intellect, religious belief, whatever you may name. These are the philosophical systems I adhere to, and I do not see money as a philosophical or intellectual system. I disagree with that, but let me talk a little about my background, and then I'll go into what I find wanting in the money culture, which dominates our society 100%. Now, this is a politically incorrect show. It's not politically correct. We don't go in for media hype, media falsehoods, lies, the big lie. We don't go in for any of those things. We are in for truth and intellectual honesty and not political rhetoric and not media and hype and lies. Not interested. We don't particularly interest ourselves in this show. We're interested in truth and facts and in casting aside the curtains of darkness that are pushed on us by the media and by all forces, by many forces, to fool people immeasurably. And so I'm going to talk about, next thing I'm going to talk about, I'm a Christian. I adhere to Genesis, the Holy Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And I also adhere to the creeds of the church, the Athanasian Apostles' Creed and Nicene Creed. And if I read books, I get to read T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society, John Bunyan, book Pilgrim's Progress. I also read other similar books, such as Milton's Paradise Lost, which he wrote when he was blind. And I'll go into that a little later in the show. These are the great books. These are the books that will inform you. These are the books that will transform you if read with care and concern. I am convinced that a society without these books, whether it's Paradise Lost by Milton, T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society, or Calvin, Bonhoeffer, and Luther, whether those books are not present, that would include St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine, and of course the Epistles of Paul, which are fantastic religious thinking. Without these, our society will downgrade into zero. That's my opinion. We're going down now, but it will go down further without these books being read and thought about and reflected on. Now, As I say, that is the. I also am a politically conservative person, but I also that would include opposing abortion and gay marriage. But I have nothing against gay people or women who want an abortion. They have a right to do that. I think they should be informed of the possible moral consequences of an abortion. And I think that I have nothing against gay people or gay marriage. I welcome them in the church in every way. I know Jesus died for them and welcomes them to be with him in heaven with the saints. I welcome them. I love them. This is true of my Islamic friends and Hindu friends and Buddhist friends and Shinto friends. All are welcome in the love of Christ into our system. I love them. I dearly have concern for them, and I welcome them. I know Jesus welcomes them in his love for all humanity. He died for all humanity, and he died for every gay person. He died for every Hindu. He died for every Buddhist. He died for every person you can imagine within his sights. He cast down his life. He suffered on the cross, and I am confident that he wants all people with him. As is said in Timothy, he wills that all men be saved. Next, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. These shows are Christian in their orientation, but I have many, many visitors from all over the world. I've had over 4,300 visitors to my podcast show from 80 countries. I've had many Islamic friends have visited my blog talk radio show. I have a wonderful friend in Iran, a philosophy student, who's very interested in my Christian books, which indicates her intellect, the quality of her intellect, that she's willing to read and absorb and understand other forms of thought. People who can't do that, they have a problem. They can't think. When you can't think, you bring down the society to zero. A non-thinking society, a non-intellectual society, is a society in destruction, where people can be fooled immeasurably day and night with the right words and with the right rhetoric. George Orwell said of a propaganda called a newspeak, and he correctly defined a society based on propaganda, which is a present society. Of course, I do have conservative views, but I also join Jesus in his concern and love for the poor and underclass. He chose his disciples, working men, tradesmen. Many of his followers were so-called sinners, people who were dregs of society, in the lower level of society, for want of a better word. He treasured them. He died for them. And he, it was said of Jesus, "Who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? And can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Jesus had his, most of his followers were poor and underclass. That's true to this day. His followers are extremely, generally, not the wealthier classes. Sometimes, but not often. Anyway, I have written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and a number of Christian books, Essays in the Christian Review, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, which is, by the way, I recommend reading the parables in the Bible. The Bible are extremely insightful and profound. They are the words and mind of Christ. They are well worth reading 100 times. I recommend them 100% if you want to learn and develop. If you want to have your mind developed and expanded, read the parables. I've also written a book on the Psalms, interpreting 150 Psalms. The Psalms are great literary pieces of work. They're Hebrew poetry. I read them in Hebrew in seminary, and I continue to read them in English. I memorized in Sunday school the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm. The Psalms are great literary treasures and great spiritual treasures. They are the words of God and Christ leading us to truth. You can't stop reading the Psalms. And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, which are you going to tire of more, the Psalms in English translation or Crime and Punishment in English translation? I can guarantee you will not tire of the Psalms. And the Psalms are profound. They are great. Their greatness is literary, and their greatness is internet. They are extremely insightful in terms of their thought, which is why they continue to be read for 2,000 years, 2,500 years, to be exact. I also have written several law books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2. I have I'm writing other books on my blogs, 4 blog books I'm writing. I'm writing also a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written one chapter. I've written a chapter in New York law and New York family law and practice on paternity. I've written chapter on called Res Gestae in Bender's Consolidated Evidence, chapter on evidence. I've also written a book on New York jurisprudence, a chapter on New York criminal law, demands and notices. These are just some of the things I'm planning. Other books, a book on the book of Job. Job is a wonderful book. He was Edomite. He wasn't Jewish, but he made it into the Hebrew canon. And it's a wonderful book, insightful of why God testing the trials of a person such as Job. Read Job. Job is great work, great literature. You can't tire more. You cannot, in my opinion, the Bible is a treasure of great thought, and you cannot stop reading it once you have started reading it. Not to read the Bible is to be in trouble. Not to read great books such as Milton's Paradise Lost or T.S. Eliot's The Idea of a Christian Society or John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress or his great autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. These books are great. They will inform you, as I have said many times, they will raise you up. Mortimer Adler said in his book, his great book, How to Read a Book, he said, you want to read books that will raise you up, that will raise you up intellectually and spiritually. You want to read books, he said, people who look at media, who look at television and TV and computers, they are drugs. He referred to them as drugs. It is only through great books in print that we can raise ourselves intellectually to the level we are capable of. Children, give these books to your kids. Raise them up. Don't push them down to society. Present educational system is pushing people down to zero. You want to be in the ground? Then do what those people, do what the media recommends. You want to be raised up? You read the books that I'm referring to, starting with the Bible. Going further with St. Thomas Aquinas, reading the Confessions of St. Augustine. These are all great books, and the greatest minds of all time wrote these books. Of course, St. Paul's epistles are extremely great. He was the greatest religious thinker that ever lived. Don't fail to read these books. I'm telling you, they will raise you up. If you want to be pulled down, read the Post, read the Times, and look at CNN. If you want to be pushed down, go for those things. If you want to be raised up, you'll read the things that I'm talking about. I've written 3 journal articles, all published by the State Department, and one instance by the United States Supreme Court. The Syracuse Law Review published one of my journal articles on criminal procedure. It was purchased by many, many libraries all over the world. North America, South America, and Africa and Asia. And he also it has been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. I've written 2 journal articles on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, and these articles have been bought by the State Department and also by many, many universities throughout the world. The articles The articles are on the United States educational system and opposes sexual orientation discrimination. However much moral reservations I may have about anything, I want people to be loved, treasured, and given the consideration and love they deserve. They are the people that Jesus suffered on the cross for, all of them, every one of them, were in his mind when he was dying, and he is still in heaven giving his love to all men and women who will accept it. So I said in Timical, God wills that all men and women be saved, every one of them. And that includes our gay brothers and sisters, our Hindu brothers and sisters, our Buddhist brothers and sisters, our Islamic brothers and sisters. I welcome a dialogue with them. I welcome talking to them and knowing them and exchanging my religious views with them and understanding them better as human beings and as I'm capable of. Now I'm going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, the subject of this talk, which is a United States money culture. The present system in many parts of the world might be termed free market capitalism. Capitalist economic system is based on acquisition and greed. The idea behind it is that if all of us are given some sort of equal starting point in a free market, business will be created, jobs created, and society materially advanced. Now, I have to say this. This system maintains the notion that a person with a particular concept or idea, if given the chance in this system to build a business, can do that. The idea can take the form of a Starbucks or Kentucky Fried Chicken, but behind the capitalist system lies the idea that if people are given the motivation of greed to exempt themselves materially, the society benefits by jobs and spending and growth. So let's take a look at this idea about this money culture. What happens is, I have nothing against the capitalist system. It creates jobs. It has good points. The idea behind it is that if given some sort of equal starting point in this free market money-oriented society, business will be created, jobs created, society materially advanced. This present system maintains the notion that a person with a particular concept or idea can build a business on that basis. However, capitalism and our system is based on the motivation of greed and materialism. I personally, as I don't say they're precisely bad things, but they're not philosophical values. They are not intellectual values. Many people will say that socialism and communism have been tried and failed, that they don't work too well in North Korea and Cuba. I'm not sure whether capitalism is the best system, but I think it should be regulated since it results in great inequities of wealth and the creation and continuance of class structure. So I think capitalism, that our money culture and our commercial culture, I don't think it's so good. I don't think it's a basis for thought. I don't think it's a basis for moral growth. I don't think it's a basis for growth at all. I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that socialism, in some sense, is a more moral system, which really is concerned with morality of a certain kind, since it attempts to equalize wealth, eliminate class structure, and provide free schooling and jobs. Communism and socialism have been shown to be not particularly successful economic systems, but in some sense, they have their points. And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that a culture based on money is a intellectually defective culture. Money is not a moral quality. It is not a philosophical quality. So I find that greed and money, as the sole aim and basis of life, defective. Not so good. First, when money and greed and getting things for yourself are made the sole objectives, I don't think that's good. I think the desire for money is bad. I think materialism isn't a good thought system. I think it's poor. And when money and greed and getting things for yourself are made the sole objectives, our entire society is degraded in that desire for money. Persons may not care about their work or what they're doing. Many people aim to get as much money and do as little as they can. There may be doctors who are solely focused on money and no particular commitment to their patients. And that may be true of lawyers. So our entire society is degraded intellectually and philosophically, where persons, in the desire for money, persons may not care about their work or even think about anything or what they're doing. Many people aim to get, in their thinking, it's poor thinking, it's degraded thinking, aim to get as much money and do as little as they can. There may be doctors who are solely focused on money, many of them are, and have no particular commitment to their patients. And the same may be true as lawyers. When the desire, when money governs, when there's a purely commercial system, disintegration and degradation occur. You all know, ladies and gentlemen, when you go to an auto mechanic, and he's going to tell you you need a brake job or a new transmission or a new battery, and there's a good chance that mechanic is simply not taking the easy path, making you spend a large sum of money without having taken the trouble and work to find out what's actually wrong with the car. This corruption and fraud connected with desire for money take a number of forms. As I say, money and commerce are poor ideas. They may be good, but economically they have their points. But as ideas, they are very poor. They should not govern our society. They're not philosophically valid. They're not intellectually valid. They're extremely poor in their thought. So desire for money and the fraud takes a number of forms. It could be the imposition of excessive charges on the business person when they know little work is involved. That may be involved, that some professional business person may be charged a huge amount of money when they well know that little or minimal work is actually involved. Again, this is a function of this purely commercial system, which our young people are being attuned to 100%. Another example is that politicians say they write books. Maybe they do, but they're making that claim, and I'm not sure it's true. Many books are produced by notable figures, whether politicians, movie stars, or sports figures, not actually produced by their own efforts. So here we have what's going on. The desire for money involves as little work as possible, charging as much. It can involve the claim to write books, which politicians say. They may do it, they may not, but they know in the difficulty of the task, I'm a writer, I'm producing a book, this claim is somewhat questionable, and the goal of it is to get money and power through the writing of this book, which is a poor thought system. One may think that many books are produced by notable figures, whether politicians, movie stars, or sports figures, but the idea is they may not be actually produced by these people, since to write a 400-page book is a laborious and time-consuming effort. One can only conclude that the desire for money and power, bring about this fakery in terms of book writing. A culture such as our focused on greed is not only is the work product degraded, but the person is degraded. They are downgraded to simply wanting to get as much as they can. So in some sense, when money is the only consideration, the intellectual underpinnings of our society are brought to nothing. Our society tells people as long as you make money, that's all that counts. Society also says that what is not connected with money is of no value. A Bible can be $5, a Lexus $35,000. Where money is the only object and greed the sole purpose, we are all told whatever good we may do in our lives counts for nothing. So this is the problem that I've defined here. Where money is only the consideration, our society is pulled down, and the intellectual underpinnings, whatever they are, of our society, which are possible, are brought to nothing. Our society seems to be telling people that as long as you make money, that's all that counts. The system also says that what is not connected with money is of no value. So I have to say that where money is the sole benchmark, I have to say this, and
Hello?
Yeah, I'm on the phone with someone right now. I'll call you back, okay? I'm okay, yeah. It's okay, but I will, I'll get back to you, okay? Bye, bye. So, as I say, this is another criticism of this greed culture based on money. That is marriage and love. When a man or woman chooses their husband or wife on the basis of wealth, there cannot be love in that relationship. I'm convinced that a purely greed and money and materialistic culture is destructive of any chance for love in this system. Love can only be found where something else occurs besides wealth, money, or getting things, or materialism. The capitalist system is based on money and greed, and really, I hate to say it, eliminates any chance for love in a society in which people are desperately trying to seek and gain through online dating, personal advertisements, and casual sexual encounters. So that's the issue. Where there is money and materialism and greed, I think it eradicates, if that is based on your choice of partner, man or woman, basis if the husband or wife is chosen on the basis of wealth, there cannot be love in that relationship. In short, I'm convinced that a materialistic money culture is destructive of any chance for love in our system. Love can only be found where something else occurs besides wealth, money, or the acquisition, or anything else. The capitalist culture is taken to its extreme, is based on money and greed, and eradicates any chance for love in our society, where people are desperately seeking it through online dating and casual sexual encounters. I hope I've made clear, the money culture, let me sum up, a culture based on greed, money, and materialism as a thought system is terrible. It fails to develop people. It turns them into nothings. There's no thought. In that sense, communism and socialism may be an improvement. At least there's an idea where there's an equal distribution of wealth and jobs are provided on an equal basis and health care is provided on an equal basis. When these things are present, socialism and communism have their points. They have some good points. I have to say that a society, our society, which is purely commercial and based on greed of money, to me, is significantly wanting. And let me say something else. I'm going to make one more remark before I close this show. I will make before I close this show. When I was in high school, I read a book by Sinclair Lewis called Babbitt, B-A-B-B-I-T-T, in which Lewis defined the crass commercial culture which dominated at that time and which still dominates our society. Our society is concerned with the latest car, with the latest clothes, with the latest looks. It's wanting, it's deficient, it's sad. I don't judge people on that basis, and a society which makes those a benchmark is an intellectual trouble, big trouble. Babbitt is a great book. I recommend reading it because Sinclair Lewis defined the crass commercial culture of his time, which is still very much present in our society to this day. It's bad, it's evil, and I detest it. It's not something I agree with, and in some sense, as a Christian, I believe that socialism is closer to the Christian model than greed and money and that kind, the kind of system that presently dominates. I believe that socialism is closer to the Christian ideal. And I'm not saying I'm a socialist, and I think it has a lot of problems, but as an idea, it certainly has its points, as opposed to capitalism, where greed and money are made the benchmarks and things that people are supposed to worship these values. They're not values. They're not philosophical systems. They're simply a way of making money. That's okay, but they're nothing to do with thought or ideas or philosophy or anything resembling Christianity. Certainly, greed and money are not recommended by Jesus as a way of thinking. I don't think so. And as I mentioned, he chose his disciples, working men, uneducated, not so wealthy people, and his followers were not wealthy, not educated, not the top people. These are the people he chose, and he chose them for a reason, because he thought they were essentially more perceptive and intelligent. They may be. Okay. Having money does not make you something that is better as a person, and it may, in fact, pull you down. All right, good night. Bye.
Yes, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Well, I walked back from the bakery today. It was all right. I may walk there again tonight, this evening. So, you know, I don't know why these things happen, but they do happen from time to time. No, because I just fall flat on my back. Yes, that's the thing. I'm flat on my back. Right. No, but there's a, as a matter of fact, the doctor said, Blantis, that this is a symptom of Pinkerton's falling on your back. So I'm going to look into it. He said it's a symptom of this, I may have Pinkerton's, because he says that's what happens when people have Pinkerton's, so I'm going to look into it. Pinkerton's, it's a disease. I think it's P-I-N-K-E-R-T-O-N. I think that's how it's spelled. Maybe I have the word wrong or something. I don't know. Yeah, it's Parkinson's. That's right. Well, that's what he said. He says falling flat on your back is Parkinson's. Well, I don't know. I mean, he said that. All I can say, he's a doctor, so I... I don't know. I mean, but I'm gonna look into it because. Yeah, but don't take any of those drugs. Would be Parkinson's disease drugs would be dangerous. Well, I'm not gonna take the drugs, but I'm gonna take the MRI for my spine.
Oh, I see.
Okay. That's what he recommended.
You did have one MRI. What did they...
I had MRIs. It didn't show anything.
But not what it showed. What part of your body did it?
The brain, the top. Yeah, he wants to do that, yeah. Well, you know, look, I don't know. I mean, people have these problems, and plenty of people walking around with canes and walkers and wheelchairs.
You don't want to be falling. It's dangerous.
It is dangerous. I mean, I hope not.
I think you'll be all right.
I hope so. I don't want problems. I want to live as long as I can. I don't want to die. Well, I mean, but that could be the result here if it continues.
Well, you don't have Parkinson's. I spent my last dollar on that.
Well, he told me to take a test on it, so.
You can take a test. As long as you don't take any drugs, that's fine.
I'm not taking any drugs. The neurologist told me to take drugs, and I didn't do it.
I would not do it.
These
people don't know your complete history.
Also, they don't know that much. He's speculating. In telling me to take those drugs, he's speculating. He thinks they'll work. That's his perceptive.
Based on the symptoms,
right, but you can't tell a person to take drugs for another condition just on the based on speculation without proving that person has that condition. Well, I don't know. Right now, I sort of have to hang up, but thanks for calling. Thanks very much. Thank you very much.
Bye.
I don't know. What are you doing? I'm going to give you one on. I hope not.